Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate. Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate with Emboldened Heart. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today for a really fun interview that I'm looking forward to. I have with me today someone who's very special in my life. I have my beautiful, brilliant, and talented daughter-in-law, Annalise Hagen, with me. Hi, Annalise. Welcome. How are you today?
I am excited. I'm so excited to have this talk with you. It's a privilege to be on air with Melinda Zarate, healer and visionary, awesome mother-in-law.
Thank you. Yeah, this is really fun. I'm so excited that we decided to do this. So there's a lot of really wonderful information that's going to be really interesting and useful to all of you listening. And so I just want to take a moment to just tell you a little bit about Annalise, if you don't know about her. She's a yoga teacher, a writer, and an actor. And she created the revolutionary facial rejuvenation program she calls the Yoga Face. And she authored a best-selling accompanying book. And again, that book is called The Yoga Face. She teaches yoga and wellness in health clubs, studios, and with private clients. And she's deeply interested in the connection between the spirit and the body, especially with regard to fertility, aging, and beauty. She's been featured in Time Magazine, The New York Times, O Magazine, Self, E! News, Yoga Journal, and Fit Yoga, among other publications. She has appeared on Live with Kelly, on the Today Show, the CBS Early Show, and the Rachel Ray Show. And she is one of my favorite people in my life. And she happens to be my daughter-in-law and the mother of my beautiful granddaughter. So this is a real honor, and it's just a really special thing for me to be able to have her share her work with you and have you learn about her special approach to facial rejuvenation and yoga. So Annalise, I'm really kind of going to just let you take the helm and share with people a little bit about yourself, and then what are you doing with yoga face and facial rejuvenation?
Okay, well, first I have to kind of dry my eyes because that really moved me to tears. That was such a wonderful way of introducing me. And often I think we don't give ourselves the credit that we deserve, you know, and it's only through the mirror of relationship with other people that we love and respect that we can get a glimpse of how we affect other people in the world, you know. And so
that's so true.
I have to say that, you know, the relationship I have with you is one of those vehicles in which I can really sort of own, you know, the power and the healing that I'm able to channel, because you do that as well and you really inspire me. And I think that's a lot about what the Yoga Face is about really connecting to the spirit and to the heart, you know. And I love that you call your work the Emboldened Heart, because yoga is a path to the heart. It's not a thinking path. It's a feeling path. And, you know, we can certainly use our intellect in that inquiry and in that pursuit, and we ought to, but it is a path of realization that's completely from the heart. And if you do yoga, your heart will open, you know. So spoiler alert, if anybody's listening, you know, you're going to be opened up, cracked open like an egg. And that's what happened to me. Yoga was always part of my life, but not necessarily by choice. I grew up in California, and my mother is a psychotherapist and a counselor, and she's always been very curious about spirituality and psychology and philosophy. And I was fortunate to be born to her and just have this wonderful influence of a mother who is very, I guess the word people use now is awoke.
That's right. She is.
My mother is very awoke. So growing up in California and having a mom like that, and even my brother, he was always really interested in spirituality and stuff, and he's older than me. So I grew up around that. My father is a thinker and a philosopher in his way. And so the ground was set. And even in sixth grade, I remember my sixth grade elementary school teacher teaching us yoga. And it always being around. And my mother went her name was Marla Donnell, and she was like one of these women who like came out of the 50s with a beehive and pantyhose mm-hmm. and just took it off.
Cool.
So she was really awoke too. I've always been
good.
A lot of women, you know, really who were seekers and spiritual and looking for the truth and showing it to me. So I always had community around me. My mother was taking me to an ashram when I was 11 years old. We went to the Sidiana ashram. And she would do yoga in the living room in her leotards, you know, this 28-day Richard Hindleman yoga book that was a paperback at the time that was really popular.
I remember it, yeah.
And I found a copy of it recently, and I have it on my bookshelf because that book, that little book, changed a lot of lives. You know, it was a trade paperback from Avery, which was the publisher that ended up publishing my book. So,
how cool. Oh, wow. That's a wonderful connection. I have that book. I use that book.
It's a great book. I mean, to this day, I look at it, you know, it's in black and white, and there's this beautiful mm-hmm. woman in a leotard. She looks a lot like my mom, and it's simple. It's just one day at a time, you know, from day one up to day 28, you build a little bit, and every day you, by the end of the month, you know, you're standing on your head, you're doing a shoulder stand, but it's attainable, and it's broken down into bits and pieces, and you can string it together.
Right, right.
And so fast forward many years later, I went through some turbulent times as a teenager and kind of off of the path, or so I thought. But then through all kinds of so-called coincidences, I ended up back on the path of yoga. I went to acting school. I went to college and majored in acting and went to conservatory and had yoga in conservatory, but I didn't think much of it. And then I came to New York to pursue my acting career, and New York kind of blew me away. And it was just really overwhelming, and I started to have a lot of anxiety. And that's when I found yoga really as an adult, was here in New York City when I was about 29, and I found a yoga studio called Jiva Mukti. And it was like I found my home, and I found people who chanted and they meditated. And, you know, they didn't just teach yoga as exercise. They were teaching yoga as philosophy and as a way of life, and the yamas mm-hmm. and the niyamas, which are like the precepts and the ways to live, the yoga paths. And I just clung to it like somebody clinging to a life preserver, because I'm going through a major sort of shadowy train breakdown of my personality moving to New York to become an actor in New York.
Yeah, it's a big change. It's a big change.
Yeah, and I ended up waiting tables, and I didn't want to do that, so I just started going to yoga all the time, and it was like immersing myself really in what I knew to be the truth. And I think, you know, anybody who's listening, you can relate to this. When you find the truth, it doesn't ask you to come along. It's just like, this is the truth. You know, it kind of grabs you by the lapels and shakes you a little bit. But for me with Jiva Mukti, it was a very beautiful experience. And sometimes it can be like falling in love, you know, and it can be like mm-hmm. easy. But there's always this sort of, you're called to something and you rise to the occasion. And that's how I felt about the path of yoga, really coming to it as an adult. And so over time, that became more and more of my life. I put acting aside. It just made me too anxious. But yoga was now my heart and my joy and my refuge. And I committed to it. And I became a teacher. And I wasn't sure I would become a professional teacher. Like a lot of people who do yoga teacher training, they say, I just want to deepen my practice and immerse myself a little more.
Right.
But for me, it was clear. It was clear early on that I was a teacher. I come from a family of teachers, and as an actor, I had taught a little. And it was just a gift. It was clear to me and to other people that I was meant to be a teacher. And even though I had some obstacles, it was pretty easy to get onto the path. And, you know, that was like 17, 18 years ago, and I've been teaching yoga ever since.
Fantastic. I know you have really quite a following, and you've had a pretty large private client base over the years. But you did something a few years ago that was pretty exciting, and you ended up authoring a book that had to do with yoga called the Yoga Face. So how did you get from teaching yoga in fitness studios and private clubs and with private clients to writing a book about facial yoga?
Yeah, that was a crazy one. I could have never predicted that, you know. And again, I think when you're on a spiritual path, you get thrown some curveballs. And I had a whole plan for how my life was going to go. And I was working with a yoga studio, and they were looking for workshops. They are a newer studio, kind of struggling to find its space. And the director was saying, you know, can you think of a workshop? And I said, why don't we do something on the face? You know, I'm always in class, and the teacher will cue you at a certain point, relax your face, and that's all that anybody says about it. But, you know, I was getting a little older. I was in my, like, mid-30s and starting to see, as we do when we hit about 30, we start to see facial aging kind of start to show up on the face because collagen and elastin start to slow down, and whatever happened before 30 shows up after 30 on your face. So I was feeling all these great benefits of yoga, and my body looked better than ever, and I felt great. And meanwhile, my face was starting to look older, and it kind of freaked me out, you know. And I thought, there's got to be a way we can do something about this with yoga. And the director said, yeah, let's do it. Let's do a workshop. So then I was sort of obligated to figure out what to teach, you know. And I just started researching, and I thought, well, let me pull a lot of the stuff I used as an actor about voice and warming up and sound and chanting. All those things with sound vibration were really powerful. As you know, as a healer, sound vibration.
Absolutely.
And now it's kind of coming out more like with sound bath and sound healing, but it really can heal you vibrationally, you know. And Sanskrit is a language that's completely vibrational, the language of yoga. So there's, you know, these things called the seed mantras. They're called the bija mantras, and they're seed sounds for your chakras. Each chakra has its own sound. And, you know, you can throw, you can open the face, you can open up the third eye, all of it, your whole energetic body, your subtle body. And so that was one component that I threw into the mix. And then I researched facial exercises, like face lifting through exercise. I found a wonderful book by a British dancer who had written a book called The Natural Facelift. Her name's Juliette Panda, and I always give her a lot of credit because she was really smart about the way she outlined facial rejuvenation through posture. You know, just the way you stand can change the way your face looks. This has a lot to do now with things like screens and cell phones, and stooping over or hunching over a screen. It's kind of like an invitation to a double chin, you know.
Makes sense.
Dowel.
Yeah.
Right. So just stuff like that, alignment principles, posture, facial isometrics. I started experimenting on myself, doing a lot of research, and thinking of what yoga could do to help with energy, moving energy around, and breath. Breath is so huge in yoga. And it's, again, such a healing powerhouse when you can direct your breathing.
Yes.
So it was just sort of, you know, I threw together a few ideas and had a workshop. I didn't even know. I thought, oh, we're going to need mirrors. The studio didn't have any mirrors, so I went out and bought 99-cent mirrors from the 99-cent store. And just kind of did it on a wing and a prayer, and, you know, maybe 5 people, 10 people showed up to the first one, and I got through it okay. I was a little nervous, but it seemed to work. And I kept practicing on myself, and it just took off. The health club that I was working at a lot put it on the schedule. They had a publicist there who really knew his stuff, and he wrote a release, and I got on the cover of Metro, which has a big circulation of like 3 million or something. It's a free paper in New York.
Awesome.
From there, it just kind of, it took on a mind of its own, and I was just following it. You know, it was like at times confusing for me because I thought, I'm not really an expert on this. This is just an idea I had, and it's clearly got its own legs, and I'm just its little, you know.
You were the messenger.
I was on the back of this big, beautiful unicorn that was flying all over the place. And, you know, I continued to refine it. I was very fortunate to have it on the schedule twice a week, and I got to see my students coming back and looking better and learning what worked and what didn't. And then other people that were in the field started to come to me, and I met acupuncturists, and other healers, and we did events together. And then the book came out because I had a really good friend in publishing, and he said, this is a book. I'll help you write a proposal. I thought, okay, what have I got to lose, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just, divinely led.
Yeah, how wonderful. Well, it's really, it's such a fun story to hear. You're the best possible emissary for the message, because your enthusiasm for yoga and your vibrant approach to teaching and to writing the book. The book is fun. I remember getting it as soon as it came out and just loving it and just really finding it an enjoyable read and something that truly could make a difference. I mean, women, everyone wants to look good, but women, we really put ourselves through a lot of grueling regimen trying to look good, spending money on all kinds of lotions and potions and creams and who knows what, and then ultimately resorting to injections and then invasive surgery. So if there's something that we can do ourselves to keep our faces and skin looking more youthful, more bright, more radiant, I mean, why would we not want to hear about it? It's so important.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that was one of the things that I found, you know, again, I'm getting emotional as you talk about this, because I probably more than anyone I know, maybe not more than anyone, but certainly I've experienced a lot of that energy of, like, the perfectionism and the pressure, you know, being an actress. I mean, one of the reasons I had a meltdown was I just, you know, the pressure. And it's so sad to me, you know, because nobody judges us as harshly as judge ourselves usually. And the things that I find problematic in my appearance, you don't even notice. You're looking at who I am as a person and how I radiate, you know, and what's coming from my heart. And that's how I see you, you know, which, again, it goes back to the mirror of relationship, that we really need to hold the space for each other, to mirror each other. And that was a lot of the work that I did in teaching the yoga face, was putting people in a circle, you know, laughing, radiating and mirroring each other, and, like, forgiving ourselves through loving others, you know, like, the harshness with which we've learned to judge ourselves. You know, I don't want to get too political, but I feel this is a time, you know, that hashtag time's up, where women are really finally coming into our power, and we're not going to allow those messages to repress us anymore. And, I mean, this was one of the reasons I came up with this idea to begin with. I had clients, you're talking about my private practice, I'm in New York City, and I have a lot of private clients who can afford the best of the best and look their best. And a lot of those people were getting injections, and I'm working with them as a yoga teacher and thinking, wow, you know, like, I'm not judging you. And of course, you know, do what you need to do to feel better, but you don't have to buy self-acceptance, right? It's all about like, you know, if you believe in science, which hopefully, you know, we're reading studies and we're seeing that quantum science is real, that what we think, what we perceive affects our reality on a molecular level.
Yes.
Study where they had two petri dishes of water, and they told one that it was bad and ugly, and the molecules got spiky. And
we're mostly water.
And dysfunctional. They were, like, toxic. And then the other dish, you know, we played music to it and told it nice things, and it became smoother and rounder in molecular structure. So, you
amazing.
Know, if we have a plan that involves positive affirmations and utilizing energy in a positive way to our face, our faces are going to change. And the face is composed mostly of involuntary muscles, so it's really facial muscles are doing whatever they feel like most of the time. And this idea that we can train them, it was kind of radical. People didn't believe me. But you can't train your face muscles, just like you can train the rest of the muscles. You can't get them to lift weights like an arm because they don't have fingers, but you can apply fingertip pressure and lift and release and muscular contraction with resistance will absolutely change the shape of the muscle. You can lift the muscle. And, you know, I'm very validated now because when this came out, you know, 12 years ago or so, there were some doubting Thomases. There were some people maybe in the cosmetic industry who weren't wanting this message to come out. And now I have a lot of doctors, even doctors who do plastic surgery or injections, who are doing the research and saying your method works, you know, and we support you in this.
Yay.
Because I think
that's
we all
fantastic.
Want the same thing. You know, we all want
yeah.
everybody to be happy and healthy and feel good about themselves.
Yes.
You know, so
absolutely.
Why not?
Absolutely. Right. Well, it really is. It's a wonderful approach, and it does make a big difference. So I know we have a little bit of a limitation on time, and you've got a cool thing coming up that I would love for you to share the information on. Annalise has an upcoming yoga retreat in Costa Rica, and she has held retreats previously at this same fabulous beachside location. Tell us a little bit about the location, and then if you'll maybe share about the program. And for those of you listening,
sure.
There's a link right on the page, the Blog Talk Radio page, that says Yoga Retreat, and you can click through it, and all the information is also available there. But it's always fun to hear it from directly from the teacher. So tell us more.
I'm thrilled about this. I haven't led a retreat in a while. Right after the Yoga Phase came out, you know, as Melinda mentioned, I had my daughter, and I've been very involved in parenting her. So it's been a while since I've done retreat, but I wanted to go back to this place. It's in Montezuma, Costa Rica, on the Pacific side. It's on the Nicoya Peninsula, very close proximity to the capital. And it is just a beautiful, beautiful retreat space, Montezuma Yoga. The woman who runs Montezuma Yoga has been doing it for 13 years. Her name is Dagmar. She's lovely. She's a yoga teacher. And she and her partner took over this estate/compound called Hotel Los Mangos. And it lives up to its name. There's, you know, fresh wild mangoes in the trees and howler monkeys and a beautiful outdoor yoga pavilion. And there's bungalows. Everybody has their own bungalow with like a porch and a hammock. And we're across the road from the beach. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's 5 minutes from town. You can walk into town. It's a cute little local town with a few expats, some hippies, and some natural type people. Mm-hmm. Really welcoming mm-hmm. community. And what we do is we do meditation and yoga every morning while we're there. In the morning, we catch the auspicious light of the morning sun. And then after that, we have breakfast on the beach in a little beach shack with like smoothies and raw food and eggs if you want them, and watch the beach. And we have free time, and there's all kinds of fun things to do around there, like horseback riding or waterfall hikes or like boat trips to local islands, surfing lessons if you've always wanted to surf and you didn't know how. They have like the best surf teacher there ever. His name is Mauricio. And then we reconvene in the late afternoon, and we're going to do workshops on rejuvenation, on beauty, sound vibration, the subtle energetic body, how to tap into that ageless spirit, and channel it in your life so that you can actually turn the clock back and get younger. Because we're all living
fabulous.
Now, and, you know, it's like, let's live vibrantly and let's live our best selves. And we're going to do some work with essential oils and preparing our own beauty treatments, and probably some restorative yoga where we're just tapping into the divine feminine energy, the yin energy. So we've got a
lovely
really fun agenda. And the fun thing about retreat is, you know, it's a way to have immersion and to meet like-minded people and have what we call satsang or community, which is
mm-hmm.
people seeking the truth together. It's a higher vibration.
Wonderful. And is this for men and women, or primarily women?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bring
good.
On the men.
So everyone's invited.
Family and want to bring the kids. But yeah, men, the uptick in men participating in yoga has been really heartening to me in my career. And as I said, it's like men, women to every man is bad. And now I see it to be more like 35-40% men in all the things I do. Men are as hungry for this information as the women. So it's truly healing to have both genders there. You know,
and what about age brackets for the retreat? Is there, you know, does anyone, any adult is welcome to come? Is there a need for people to be particularly limber or flexible? Or
no, not at all. I mean, listen, you know, I've been teaching a long time. I've taught to all different populations. Oops, I have another call coming in. But no, absolutely. Whatever shape you're in the perfect shape for this retreat, and it'll be really nurturing and supportive, and I always teach variations. We have a ton of props. So it's
okay,
going to be
good.
A wonderful, wonderful practice for all. And there's a chance, I heard through the grapevine, that we might have some yoga classes even on the roster. If I can convince
this amazing
teacher I know to come along and join us and teach Mia, which would be great.
Well, I am really looking forward to that, and I would love to help people with joyful movement and through Nia dance and Nia movement practice. So, yeah, if we can put that into the mix, that will be fun too. Lots of really incredible things are going to be available to you at this retreat, which is at a gorgeous location, and the price is so reasonable. It really is. So, again, if you are at all interested, let us know. There's a deposit of $500 that would hold your space. The dates for this are March 10th through the 17th, and again, it is in Montezuma, Costa Rica, which is on the Pacific coast, and it'll be really fun. So if anyone's interested, if you have any questions, you're free to contact either of us. Our contact information is right there on the Blog Talk Radio page, and we'd love to see you there. And I'm so looking forward to sharing that fun experience with my beautiful and brilliant daughter-in-law, Annalise Hagen Pendleton, who has been here with us today. Is there any kind of last-minute pearls or words that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, you know, if you're called to implement change in your life, or if you're called to practice more self-care, this is the time. You know, Melinda and I talk a lot about that there's a higher vibration and a higher ascendancy happening right now. And
yes,
it's planetary, and this is a new moon, and it's a very powerful time of transformation. So I think we all feel the call, and as healers and as people who are interested in health and wellness and in community, and this is something I've had to learn myself as a healer over and over again, we need to fill our own well. So if you're called to do something and then that critical voice comes in and is like, oh, I don't know if this is the right time, or I don't know if I deserve to do this for myself, you absolutely not only deserve to do it, but I feel it's an obligation at this point for us to take care of ourselves, because we give so much to others. And if our well is full, we can't be of change to the others in our lives that matter to us, you know?
Exactly. We kind of have to be the change. I mean, we've been hearing it for quite a while now, and yes, it is indeed true. So
yeah, but the funny thing is, it can feel good and it can be fun. And I think we think, change. Ooh, change is joyful. You know, let's surrender to what's joyful, because that's what's going to make the difference.
Absolutely, so true.
Yeah.
Annalise, thanks for being here today. What fun it was to interview you, my beautiful, beautiful friend and daughter-in-law. Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you, Melinda. Blessings to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great day. Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye-bye. Thanks very much for being here, everyone, and listening. And do consider that incredible yoga retreat and pick up her book, The Yoga Face by Annalise Hagen. Bye-bye.